I'm about a third of the way through a very interesting book. It's called Chosen Boys, and it's just been published by Escalator Press. It's set in the 1970s about a Palagi Samoan Catholic community in Auckland. It's about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. It's a brand new and beautifully written novel by the author Petra Malloy, who joins me on the phone this morning from Auckland. Good morning, Petra. Good morning. Sorry about that. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, congratulations on this beautiful new book. I understand it's creating a lot of interest, and like your publisher says, it's really not surprising that it is. You are Catholic, and you've been a part of that community for a very long time. Why did you need to tell this story about the church?
Because of my strong connection, my still strong connection to Catholicism. I've been Catholic from time immemorial. We came to New Zealand as immigrant Catholics. My forebears were Catholic for untold generations. I married a Catholic. My children were brought up Catholic. Catholicism is in my blood. And for many years, I was unaware, certainly. My family was, my parents were unaware of the terrible abuse that was going on in the Catholic Church. And when it finally dawned on me, and especially over the last 10 years or so, where it was finally dragged out of the church and brought into the public eye, I just have felt such a sense of betrayal, such a profound sense of hurt, the fact that my children went to Catholic schools, that I could entrust my children into a culture which has a history of hideous abuse and betrayal of its people.
And you decided to explore this in a very specific New Zealand example. Talk to me about the kind of research you began to do. This book is very steeped in Samoan culture. You explore the very delicate intricacies of it all, the colours, the food, the smells of taro bubbling on the stove, bare feet and sweat that forms on a mother's forehead from cooking for her family, and your character, Falalo, a mother who moved to New Zealand from her village in Samoa. And she seems to sort of deliver that story more in her physicality than an actual spoken word. Talk to me about that character's design and your research.
Well, I guess the character's, Falalo's design, I think I started to move into the Samoan culture basically from my position at first as a mother. In fact, mothers were are very strong. There's various sorts of mothers in the book. And I guess motherhood is a very universal experience. It moves across all cultures. I think it was because my Samoan mother was betrayed also by the church, but also there was a double betrayal going on there. She was also betrayed at that time during the 1970s by the community, by the country, that she too trusted to keep her family safe and that she gave her trust too. So I think, the two sort of blended together, and to be a mother is to have this profound need to keep your family together, to look after your family, to choose the best options, the best environments for them. And the fact, maybe I've got away from the question you were asking, why Samoan? I think because I grew up in a very multicultural society. As I said before, my children had Samoan friends. They came home to play. There were Samoan. My church was made up of a very large percentage of Samoan people. My life, particularly in recent years, is surrounded by Samoan culture and by Samoan music.
So it made sense.
All those things. And I guess really, Maggie, I really didn't know about Samoan people. Or I have to say I found out that lots of other people among my friends, my community, my book clubs, they didn't know. They certainly weren't aware. It was never taught in schools about the 1970s and the dreadful discrimination they suffered during the Dawn raids.
And you touch on all of this in this book. You confront some really intense issues, but you talk about them so beautifully and you really paint a very clear picture. I can't stress enough to people who are listening how beautiful this book is. It's called Chosen Boys. I'm talking to Petra Malloy on the phone. It's just been published by Escalator Press. And I think you're touching on with that motherhood, those characters, the mothers that define the stories of this book. I really like the quote on page 6. In these moments, she feels such fierce protectiveness that its intensity alarms her. If she were to let it control her, as sometimes it threatens to, there would be no freedom for him. That kind of intensity that a mother must feel but has to sort of restrain herself from and go and let her child do the things that they need to. And I guess that's why this story is so harrowing.
Yes. It is a harrowing story, Maggie. And the thing with the church, it's a primeval thing. This motherhood and womanhood that we share, but the awful thing is that really the Catholic Church knows nothing about motherhood. It purports to. It purports to hold up the sanctity of motherhood, the sanctity of the Virgin Mary. It has this whole almost distorted view of woman and on the one hand, it reveres them and puts them up on a pedestal. And on the other hand, it marginalizes them. It controls them. It keeps them, well, with all the precepts of the church, it controls their fertility. It forbids divorce still. It really has denied them so much, but then the final betrayal is that it betrays their children. It uses their children. It sexually abuses their children, which is the final betrayal. This is the institutional church that I'm talking about. It's the hierarchy of the church.
How's your church responded? Because you're brought up a Catholic, as you say, your five children were too. Are you still going?
No, I don't go anymore.
Do you still practice?
No, I don't practice. But I'm still strongly connected to the Catholic Church. I think I always will be. My husband goes. He has a very strong connection. My children don't go, but they still value that Catholic culture because it was, in many ways, it's a beautiful culture, and I can talk about it as a culture because it very much shaped my perspective of the world in terms of family, values, the constant ritualizing of these things, the liturgical ceremonies of the year, the Easter, the Christmas, the Lenten ceremonies. They were all celebrated with family rituals as well as church rituals. So the children have very, very fond memories of growing up as Catholics. And luckily, they didn't experience the other side of Catholicism, which is the abuses. I certainly experienced those as a child in many ways in the Catholic school environment. But no, my children didn't. They grew up happy Catholic children, I hope. So in that sense, the connection is there. But as far as practicing Catholics, no, they don't. They're very much out there. They're very much exploring the world in every sense that they can.
Let's talk about your diploma in creative writing at Whiti Rea. You did that back in 2017, and you've thanked Mandy Hager and fellow students for helping with their literary advice. This course will be defunct as of next year, and there's been a lot of talk in Wellington's literary community about the serious service it's paid to so many authors. I think there's something like 200 books that have been published out of that course alone. How was it a bit of a foundation for you and your book?
Whiti Rea was one of the best things that I've ever done. I did a year course with Mandy it was, if you have a manuscript, that was sort of at its final stages. It was a very, very empowering course as a writer. And Mandy was amazingly supportive in the areas that I wrote. And it was, she was very reassuring to have there because it was an area that I was aware that I might be being culturally inappropriate, so she encouraged me and kept me on the straight and narrow. Whiti Rea, I was shocked that it closed down because it was just a wonderful resource for there for writers, particularly writers like me who would never ever have been published. I think without Whiti Rea and without Escalator Press, because it is very difficult to get publishers to even look at novels, particularly when you're such an unknown. So it was a wonderful opportunity for me, and I'm really sad that it's going to be denied, you know, so many upcoming writers, younger ones, I hope, than I am.
Well, I hope Mandy can find another role and get some of those new students and new talent invested in new writing. I mean, so many people are very sad that course will no longer be available, and your book is an absolute product to why it should be. It's a fantastic book, as I say. Go and read it, listeners. It's called Chosen Boys by Petra Malloy. Congratulations on your new novel, and best of luck with the sales.
Thank you. Thanks, Maggie. Thank you very much.
Ka kite.